Amen. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Well, last Sunday was Pentecost, so we have all of these decorations that talk about Pentecost. Red and the dove speaks about the Pentecost. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. So we think about Pentecost, and I love to think about Pentecost because I think about these congregations that I've served, and I think, what would it be like if there was a strong wind? Whoosh! And then if there was something that happened that was like, it doesn't say flames, it says like flames that just came down on people, and then they were able to speak another language. Wouldn't that be amazing? And this is last week, I was at the assisted living at Sandstone, where we have a Bible study, and I'm with them once a month, and so we had the Pentecost story. And so I asked them around the table, how about if you could speak German, and, well, let's say you Norwegian, and you Spanish, and you this, and this, and this, and this. They all smiled. They thought that was a great thing to think about, but it was not going to happen. But that was this pouring down of the Holy Spirit on the disciples. They had gathered together. They had been told by Jesus to gather together and be in Jerusalem. And they were in Jerusalem for Pentecost. And Pentecost was a Jewish tradition on from Passover and then until Pentecost. It was 50 days, and it was the time of the wheat harvest. So they would gather in Jerusalem thankful for the wheat harvest. And so it was that time of day of the year when they would gather, sort of like we would go to a state fair or something at the fall time of the year. So they gathered together, and then the Holy Spirit poured down on the disciples, and then they were able to speak. And then it meant all the pious people, faithful, devout people who were around would hear them in their own language. And they were from lots of different places, but they would hear them and be able to understand that he was talking about, they were each one talking about Jesus and what Jesus had been crucified, he had been risen, ascended, and he was Lord in Christ. So they could all understand that. So immediately following Pentecost Sunday is Trinity Sunday. And that's when we think about God and the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we think about that, and we claim the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I'm thinking about Father on this Father's Day. I'm thinking about Dad, Claude Sheldon. Claude F. Sheldon. I always thought his middle name was Frederick. I was a teenager before I learned that his middle name was Fayette. I don't think he liked Fayette very much, so he didn't really tell us that. And he was an overalls-wearing guy. He was a farmer. We had a little farm, and that's what he wore, except he didn't wear overalls to church on Sunday. He wore some church clothes. And he married Alice Ratliff at the age of 40. So they say life begins at 40. So it's true for Dad. And so every Sunday, we would go to church, and Dad would always go to church. When I think about it, we just thought, oh, Dad always goes to church. Well, that doesn't always happen for some people. But I look back on that, and I say, that's a gift, that Dad always went to church. But he had a good reason to, because there were five of us children. I'm the oldest of five. My sister Ida, she's sitting back by Myron. And then there was our brother Tom. Our brother Tom lives in Northfield with his family and in the area. And then our brother Bob, he was in the Air Force, and he never wanted a Pentagon assignment. He got a Pentagon assignment, and he stayed there because the girls were being in school, and so he wanted to stay there. And now they've stayed there. They have grandchildren now. And then there's our kid brother Bill, who lives in Huron. So that's our family, okay? And so there were two in the family who needed to be separated. So one would sit on one side of Dad and one would sit on the other side. But I'm not naming any names. So he would be there because mom was a pianist. Sure. So he had a really good reason to be there. So, but as all, he liked to be with family. So, and he would say, you know, everybody has some kind of motto they live by. Dad would say, you know, honesty is the best policy. That's what he would say. So as soon as we were old enough in junior high, my sister and I got to sing in the church choir. And every Sunday we would process in singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And it's interesting that some phrases from some hymns just really stick with you. And for me, the one that really sticks with me, "God in three persons, blessed Trinity." I don't know why it sticks with me. Maybe because I just still need to ponder it, and maybe I just have puzzled over it over these years and find it something of a challenge. So, but it stays with me. So, and even one summer day, we went out to worship in a field, and it had been harvested so we could be there. And we had to process to where we were worshiping and sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," which was a little hard without a piano. So we did that. So in this hymn, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," God is described as merciful and mighty, holy, perfect in power, in love and purity. "All thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea." So the Trinity reveals relationships among the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we turn to what was happening for Jesus in our gospel lesson. "I have many more things to say to you, but you can't handle it now. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He won't speak on his own, but will say whatever he hears and proclaim to you what has come." Okay, so here is the season that Jesus is trying to explain to the disciples. It's before the Last Supper, just before the Last Supper, what was going to be happening about his passion, death, and resurrection in the days ahead. And they were having such a hard time with that. And he even showed them something about being a servant by washing their feet before the Last Supper. And by example, he's shown them with his teaching and healing, and that he was going to be going away, is how he explained it. And he reassures them that the Holy Spirit will guide them in truth. And so I've been thinking about that. In truth, there are some truths that we focus on, we learn. In April 1984, we celebrated Dad's 80th birthday. Now, my sister, Ida and Clarence, and their son, also Clarence, came home from the Twin Cities to see Dad and to surprise him for his birthday. And I asked Mom, "Now, Mom, I'm just having a hard time figuring out a present for Dad." And she said, "Your presence is a present." And so we were there to visit Dad. And we knew that he really appreciated our presence. How? Because we sat at the kitchen table, had our meal, and then afterwards, Ida and I washed the dishes, and Dad sat by the table and visited with us, rather than having a nap. It was really important. So we knew that it was a big deal. So then we went to church with him all together on Sunday morning. So that was really important for us. So then later in the spring, Mom had surgery. And then Dad had a heart attack. And so we came home from the cities to visit him at the Huron Hospital. And he said, mind you, he had a heart attack, "I'm going home tomorrow." And I thought, "Oh, sure, you're going home tomorrow." And he'd already planned. He called a relative to give him a ride home. And he said he was going home. And then he said, "This is classic. There's nothing to do here." Not that he had so much to do at home, but there's nothing to do here. So, okay. So, sure enough, surprisingly to me, he did go home the next day. So he did. Well, so that summer, I was planning to visit my pen pal. I had a pen pal from high school who's in Austria. You know Austria, Sound of Music. That's where she lived. She would write to me, "My beautiful country." And I thought, I'm here on the prairies. And I don't know. It's beautiful in its own way, but it's not beautiful like Austria. And so I had been with her once before. So I was going this time, and I wondered, I don't know, with their health, I don't know if I should go or not. Well, then they went to their doctors, and they had good reports. And I thought, okay, this must be a message. I should go. So I did. So I went to East Tyrolean Alps, is where they were, in a farming village where the place where they stayed were the people who farmed, but they also rented out rooms. So, and Gabrielle and I had a wonderful day of hiking in the East Tyrolean Alps, and it was such a blessing, a kind of a dream come true for me. So then a couple days later, there was a concert, local concert, and so I went with some guests from the guests that were staying there too. And so I looked up and I saw, Ewald, that's Gabi's husband. He was coming, and then also I saw one of their sons. They have two sons. And Ewald said to me, "You must come. You must call your brother Tom." And my heart just felt like it just went right to the floor, because I could only imagine what had happened, and I did. So when I talked to Tom, he explained that Dad had died, and he had been at home when he died. And so what we did was right away, Gabi and her husband Ewald drove to Munich, got on a flight, and I got on the flight. And so as soon as I got on the flight, sat down, and flight took off, I couldn't stop the tears. They just kept coming and coming and coming. And I thought, like, what do I have, a well of tears? And then after a while, I just was sort of groggy. And you know how when you're flying, you just get really tired and kind of dozing and kind of daydreaming? Well, in one of those daydreams, I had this picture of myself in a pulpit. And I thought, what's that all about? And so then that was that, and so we got home. Thinking about God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, Today we remember the faith of fathers, of uncles, of grandfathers, of mentors. And we might ask ourselves, how have we grown in faith in relationship with God the Father? How have we grown in faith with God the Father? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, from Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness combined with our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace by which we stand through him and boast in the hope of God's glory. So Dad's funeral was at that little Methodist church. I forgot to tell you something important about that little Methodist church. It's in Carpenter, South Dakota. Carpenter is in the eastern part of South Dakota. Carpenter is in Clark County. We lived in Spink County, and we went to 4-H in Beetle County. So it was right in that vicinity. Okay, and this is Carpenter, one square block, okay? And right over here in the corner is the Methodist church. Okay, so you got the size of it. Okay, so Dad's funeral was at the Methodist church. So as we drove up, we saw pallbearers standing outside. They were relatives and friends. And we noticed something unusual about these pallbearers. They were dressed up. We had never seen them dressed up before. And yet to see them there and to have them sharing our burdens, sharing our sorrow, was just so heartwarming. And so it was a funeral that was just felt surrounded by God's grace and God's love and God's peace in that time. The peace of God through Jesus Christ. So many people shared our sorrow. So we had a special time together with people there. After returning to Minneapolis, I visited with my friend MJ. Now, MJ, when she was 8 years old, said, "I don't want to be known as Mary Jean. I want to be known as MJ." So that's MJ. So I was visiting with her, and she remarked on her grandfather's death, and she said, "Well, you will know when healing happens," she said, "when you think about your dad and you feel warm inside." And that's true, and I think that's true for all of us. It hurts, it hurts. Uncle Sam was, yes, we had Uncle Sam. He said, you know, something about this, these things happening, and he said, "Feels like you have a sword running, run right through your insides." And I had to agree with him. That's what it felt like. So I was involved in the Plymouth Congregational Church, and they offered something called Stephen Ministry Training. So sometimes by helping others, you help yourself. So I was involved in the Stephen Ministry Training. And we had an initial training, and then there was a time to commission the Stephen minister. So I was on my way to the sanctuary for this commissioning. There were 16 of us, so that was it's a big church. And so on that day, I happened to meet MJ. And she looked at me and she said, "I admire your courage." I thought, courage? Courage is always what I'm looking for. I didn't think of myself as very courageous. But I think she intuitively knew that there would be something more. So MJ just as knowledgeable about these kinds of things. So we think about God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Trinity. We might ask ourselves, how do we grow in love with the Son, Jesus Christ? Remembering the days when he was with the disciples, remembering when he walked along the shores of Galilee, remembering when he told stories, remembering his healings, his suffering, his dying, his risen from death, and ascending into the heavenly realm. So that whole sense of how do we feel close to Jesus. Now, if I think of Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee, I can feel close to Jesus in those times. So, take pride in our problems, I have question mark, from Romans 5. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So, it was about 2 years later. MJ and I were working in her yard. She had a little house, and she had a yard, and she always appreciated help with yard work, so I was with her. And so I said to MJ, "You know, MJ, if I had the finances, I would go to seminary." MJ didn't hesitate a bit. And she said, "Oh, I wouldn't let that stop me if I were you. And furthermore, I don't know why I say this, but I wouldn't hesitate to leave this area if I were you." Well, whew, I'll tell you what, when you hear the truth, it is scary. And so I didn't, usually we would pray together. We had our joys, concerns, and we would have a time of prayer together. But you know what? That scared me so much. I just went, after we were finished with our project, I just went home. And so I said to myself, "Oh my goodness." And so I started to think, what needs to happen? And then I began the process of preparing to go to Andover Newton Theological Seminary. That's in the Boston area. And so thinking about that, and so that happened. I was able to figure out what to do. I visited the school. I said this was going to be a good fit. And then I came back and then later packed up and moved out to the Boston area. So I'm thinking to myself, hey, this is going to be a great adventure, a new place to explore. This is going to be great. That was my picture. Well, I was settling in the first few days, and then there was this one rainy, chilly day, and I just thought, oh, what have I done? Oh, what if I can't do these studies? Oh, you know, all those panic kind of things. And then I realized I was also homesick. Homesick, that was new to me. I'd never been homesick. As a youth, I went to camp, I moved away from home, and it just was something new for me, and so it was really hard. So even so much so that after that first semester, I returned, and some of my friends were surprised to see me back. They didn't realize God had a call on my heart, that I had to do it. It was just something I had to work through and persevere through and endure through and find hope in, and I did. And so I just really didn't think about it so much. And then once the first semester was over, the rest went relatively smoothly for me. And sometime later, I said to Ida, you know, that first semester was really hard. She said, I know. I thought I would have to come stay with you for a while. And I thought to myself, whoa, that was something I didn't know. And she wasn't saying to me, you don't have to do that because it's hard. She wasn't saying that. She was saying, I'd come stay with you, and it is hard. So that's awesome. So we know now we might ask ourselves how we grow in hope by the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. And remember how Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Spirit, sometimes called the friend, the counselor, the comforter, would come on Pentecost. So we have the love of God poured out in our hearts. This hope doesn't put us to shame because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God blessed me with new friends and a determination to persevere and learn through those 3 years, along with the support and encouragement of friends and family. I was supported really way beyond what I could ever have imagined. Carpenter United Methodist women were supportive, and they'd sent a little money every month and a little note, and I had cards and letters of appreciation. But I also think about Dad. You know, sometimes the word stubborn comes up, you know? And there are people in my family who are a little stubborn, but I think I have a generous dose of stubbornness. But I like to think of it as persevering, of being persistent, of enduring. So there you go. So by the time graduation came, it was a great celebration. And so it continues. I have been blessed beyond anything I could have ever imagined, beyond with the places I have served, the people I have served, the people who I've been a part of. Just has been awesome. The most recent place I served was Miller and Greenleaf. And when I think about that image that came to my mind in that flight, I think about the little Greenleaf church. I mean, usually 16 people in the church, and 30 people in the church would be quite a crowd. And then there was Minot Faith and Deluxe in North Dakota up by the Canadian border. And then there was Ellendale, the Presbyterian United Methodist Church in Ellendale, and a little town, Guelph. And then before that, I had an interim at the United Church of Christ in Belle Fouche and St. Ange. And you know, I liked it there. I was there for a year, but I didn't sense God calling me. And I guess it's hard to know And you say, okay, I don't sense God calling me here, even if I like it, that God calls me onto something else. So that's when I moved on. So the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Yesterday evening after the 5:30 service, Dennis Suter came up to me and he said, you know, I think we used to sing something in church. I think it was something Gloria. I said, Gloria Patri. Yes, we used to sing it in that Carpenter church too. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be.